Today on Real Life Radio.
I love the truth of what we're about to learn here. You can't deny it. You say, well, Jack, I can because I'm an atheist. No, it applies to you too. You are becoming just like what you believe, what you follow. Did you know that every one of us, we are growing into something, and that something is what we believe, what we believe in.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called The Gospel of Luke with a message titled, Those Who Follow Jesus, Part 2. Now, the Gospel of Luke is a series that gives us both the humanity and the divinity of Jesus, as only really Luke the physician could do. Here, as we continue in chapter 6, Luke tells us that the ministry of Jesus was the very spirit of a hands-on ministry. You see, as Jesus is our master, we're to follow him wherever he leads. Those of us who put our faith and trust in his hands are free from sin and its deadly hold on our lives. Like only Jesus can, he liberates us from being critical, selfish, and bitter. We can see clearly now, ready to follow his steps. So today on this part of the message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that even in our time, more and more false prophets will come on the scene and deceive a whole lot of people. But you know, as Christians, the longer we believe the teachings of Jesus, the more we'll become like him, and not to be fooled by those who preach a different gospel. Now, in his message called Those Who Follow Jesus, Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
See, this morning, by the time the service ends, some of you will say, I didn't understand a word that was said. I don't want anything to do with it. I can't wait to get out of here. Some of you will say, I'm very interested in this. And some of you will say, I thank God he opened my heart and my eyes to see this whenever that day was, whenever Christ came into your life. But you can see clearly now. You can see the way. Not only that, you can see clearly where not to go, what not to do. Look at verse 39. Jesus said, can the blind lead the blind? Now, remember last week, I shocked some of you because I broke up the norm of thinking. I didn't mean to. Jesus did not say, can the blind lead the blind? No, that's not what he said. The teaching means, can the blind lead the blind? Will they not both fall into a ditch? Church, listen. Are you with me? Listen, everybody. Jesus asked, can the blind lead the blind? What is the answer from the Bible? Yes, the blind can lead the blind. It happens every day. That's how they fall into a ditch. The blind lead the blind every day. See, what is he talking about? Jack, that is extremely rude to be making fun of blind people. This has nothing to do with blind people. It has nothing to do with a man with dark glasses or a white cane. It has to do with the spiritually blind. They have a hunger. Every human does. Don't tell me you don't. You do. You have a hunger for spiritual things, but if you don't have an eye for God, you're blind. And because you're blind, you will pursue spiritual things, but you will lead others with you, and in the end, you'll both fall into a ditch. Can the blind lead the blind? Answer, yes, it happens every day. They knock on our doors. They hand out their stuff. They're going all over the world. The blind leading the blind. And it all begins with one bit of aberrant teaching, using the Bible and then twisting it enough and their occult is born, or some legalistic system. Thank God that you and I know where not to go. We are not to follow some blind man or some blind thing or denomination or movement or whatever. Because God has cast his truth alongside of our hearts, and you're here right now because you love the Bible. It has nothing to do with our beautiful Hawaiian set or our incredible stained glass, our screaming chandeliers, or the robes that I'm wearing. Has nothing to do with that. You've come for Bible. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. That's who you're following. And that's a wonderful thing. And I'm excited about that. I'm excited to be in your presence because we're doing it together. That is a very, very wonderful thing. We know where not to go. And so when somebody comes up and says, hey, you know what? I've had this new revelation. I've got a new way to go. You're just going to say, you know what? Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And the Bible says, Jesus said it, no man comes to the Father but through him. Thanks, but no thanks. And you can just leave them in the dust. Or better yet, give them the truth and then leave them in the dust. Right? It's very important to understand that. In fact, in Matthew chapter 23, listen to this. Matthew 23, 15, Jesus said, now you need to hang on to your seats here. This is not easy. Jesus turned and said, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you travel land and sea and make one convert, and when you've won him, you will make him two times as much worse the children of hell than you are yourselves. Isn't that subtle? Meek and mild little Jesus there. You say, man, he's really passionate about it. You want to know why? You know why Jesus was so hot on this topic? Because those in the place of religion were using the things of God to lead people astray. Where were they going? They were the blind leading the blind. And they were leading them right into eternal destruction. And Jesus came to set us free from that. The Bible says Jesus died for the sins of the entire world. He cares. And so when somebody comes teaching something different, a different path, a different way. In fact, God told Moses, are you ready for this? God told Moses, Moses, if anyone teaches and prophesies falsely to my people Israel, and they're found out, what they say doesn't come to pass, God told Moses, I want you to take the guy out and I want the guy stoned. And I don't mean with drugs. It doesn't mean give him a beer. I want the guy stoned with rocks. You say, man, that's really violent. Shouldn't be more tolerant? You know what? God says to Moses that there are those that are satanically and demonized by false doctrine. And listen, even though you and I really don't appreciate this much, I don't think we can as humans. Salvation, eternal life, heaven and hell are so real and so forever that Jesus and the Bible makes it very clear that what's at stake holds eternal ramifications. See, you and I, when we don't value stuff much, we'll begin to compromise about it. Well, you know, what's good for you, what's good for me, whatever. It's okay, as long as you're sincere about it. Listen, that's not right. It sounds really politically correct, but that's not right. Can you imagine a train coming down the track and I think you ought to move? The guy's standing on there, hey, look, I see a bright light coming. It's a train, I think you ought to move. Don't tell me what to do. Okay, if you're going to be politically correct, you would say, well, you know, do you want to do this? Yes, I want to stand here. Well, you do what feels good to you, and I'll do what feels good to me. It feels good to me to get off the track. If it feels good for you to stay on the track, then I guess, brother, you know, live and let live, man. Or in your case, I'll live and you die, man. Is that loving another human being? Wouldn't you tackle the guy and like hit, just tackle him and knock him off the track if you love him? But you might bruise him. What right do you have? It's crazy thinking. Jesus is saying, listen, somebody who comes as a false prophet, the damage that they do leading people into hell is forever. And people don't appreciate that. People don't take much thought of that. Now, what do we do in the New Testament age? Now, we don't do that. We don't stone false prophets anymore. If that were the case, you would have seen Paul the Apostle and others stoning people all over town. They didn't do that. What did they do? They prayed for them. Some of them got converted to the truth. But the number one thing is they preached the truth in light of the lie. They preached the truth in light of the false. And in that very act, they were laying out the truth for you to decide, I'm going to go with the false or I'm going to go with the true. And that's a very important thing to remember. And so the blind can lead the blind. And yes, verse 39 says that they'll both fall into a ditch. They can clearly see where they are going. Who can? The Christian. We are not heading into the ditch. Why? Number one reason, Jesus will see to it that he takes us home all the way. Those that are blind, they don't see that. They don't know that. They don't understand that. Jesus says the end of these, they'll both fall into a ditch. That's a strong statement. It's like this, come and follow me. By the way, the word implies that you're influential. In fact, Jesus said in Scripture concerning those who lead others astray, he said, let them alone. And it's not like turn your face and act like they're not there. It's cut them off. They are deceiving people. They're deceivers and deceptive. Paul the Apostle lived out what Jesus said. Paul the Apostle in the book of Acts exposed them. Paul cut them off by exposing them. For example, how would you like to have the name of Hymenaeus or Alexander in the Bible? Paul says, church, I want you to mark Hymenaeus and Alexander. These guys caused me great harm. May God reward them according to their own doings. Eek. Paul didn't throw a rock at them. Paul offered an interesting bit of insight regarding them. Strong stuff. You say, what does it have to do with us today? Jesus said, the Bible says, Paul the Apostle, John, Peter said, Jude said, James said, warning that in the last days, false prophets will come more and more. There are more and more false prophets in the world today at this hour than any other previous time. Well, how do you know that? The Bible says that in the last days, they will wax more and more. There'll be more and more of them. 2 Timothy 3:13, but evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Paul told Timothy in the last days that that would happen. Deceivers. As Christians, we know where we're going. God has written us the book. Listen, I want to encourage you. Please read your Bible. If you don't have a Bible, buy a Bible. If you can't afford a Bible, we'll give you a Bible. Start reading the Bible. At least know where you're going. I don't know about you, but guys, do you love maps? I love maps. Have you seen that map in the hallway? That's a map. That map is a big map, but I love maps. I love going online and looking at maps. I just love maps. Is it a guy thing or is it just, it is a guy thing? I see a wife or a woman saying it's a guy thing. There's just something about a map. I want to know where I'm going, or I want to know where I've been, or I want to be thinking about where can I go. It's very cool. Do you guys remember Dionne Warwick? Remember her? Now, she sang a song, big time hit. Do You Know the Way to San Jose? Remember her? Okay, is anybody over 40 in this room? Do you know the, no one's willing to admit it. Do you know the way to San Jose? Dionne Warwick sang that song, and so she's very famous, and that song really made her a lot of money. And then you might know her more for her business venture that she tried several years ago. The psychic network hotline thing, remember? And you can call in 1-800, and you can know your future. That's cool. Wow, just dial a number? This is great. I can run the world if I can. I'll buy that stock. I'll sell this stock. I'll move to this country. It's going to be safer than the other country. And I can know the future. Call 1-800 if you want to know the future. Did you know in 14 months that business went bankrupt? Did you know she ran out of money? She went belly up. She went bankrupt. She went broke on that deal. Why would I call her to get what my future is going to be like? Couldn't she see that the company was going to go bankrupt? And besides, why should we be surprised when she didn't even know the way to San Jose? That was the first tip. First tip. Linda Evans stands on the shore of Malibu and says, I am God. I am God. And then she turns and says, come on and join me. I am God. False prophet. Didn't Satan in the garden tell Eve, why don't you eat this tree? I mean, the fruit from the tree. Why don't you eat the fruit from this tree? You will be like God or a God. It didn't work. She fell from her place, as did Adam. But for Satan, it worked, didn't it? Still works today, apparently. You can become a God. People sign up. It's amazing to me. Watch out. Thank God. As a Christian, I know where I'm going. I don't have to be afraid of these false doctrines. Jesus is going to see me all the way through. Matthew 7:13. Jesus said, enter in by the narrow gate. It's narrow. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to eternal destruction. And many people are on that path. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to eternal life. And there are few who find it. Oh, I hope you have found it. Verse 15, Matthew chapter 7, Jesus says, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You'll know them by their fruit." Wow, that's powerful. Listen, true or false? Jesus said, "Many false prophets will rise up and deceive many." True or false? That's true. True or false? Matthew 24:24. Jesus said, "False Christ and false prophets will arise in the last days, showing great miracles, signs, and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the very elect." True or false? That's true. True or false? Acts chapter 20, verse 30. "Also, from among your own selves, men will rise up in your midst, speaking perverse things." That's not a dirty joke. Goofy doctrine, unbiblical things, "to draw away to themselves their own disciples. Therefore, watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn you day and night with tears," said the Apostle Paul. True or false? That's true. Number three in our study together, those who follow Jesus are becoming more like Jesus. I love this. I love the truth of what we're about to learn here. You can't deny it. You say, "Well, Jack, I can because I'm an atheist." No, it applies to you too. You are becoming just like what you believe, what you follow. Did you know that every one of us, we are growing into something, and that something is what we believe, what we believe in? You say, "I don't believe in much." Well, you're going to grow into whatever that is. Jesus said, those who follow him will become more like him. "A disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone who is perfectly trained will be like his teacher." This is a biblical law. It's the law of the universe. You can't change it. It's as true as gravity. It's going to happen. You will become like the one who's leading you. And so when you hear that, you want to stop right there. All of us take an inventory and ask, "Who's leading me?" Now watch this. If you think for a moment, "Well, it's my denomination. They meet every year and they determine the direction we're going," I'd be a little nervous about that. "Well, it's this council of 12. They make their decisions and I go with the direction they're going." I'd be a little nervous about that. "Well, it's the pastor of our church. That's who..." I'd be nervous about that. The truth is, every Christian, for the Bible says there is one mediator between man and God, and that is the man, Christ Jesus. If your pastor or wherever you attend, if that ministry is prayerfully, carefully following Jesus, then with those leaders, follow Jesus. Did you hear how I put that? But if a leader or leaders come out and say, "Hey, we are your spiritual leaders." That's called, by the way, I think it's kind of gone now in a way. It'll be back, but it used to be called the shepherding movement. The shepherding movement in the 70s and 80s would tell people in their churches, "You know what? I'll tell you what house to buy. I'll tell you who to marry. I'll tell you how much to give. I'll tell you if you can move or not." And it was very prevalent. It was all over the world, by the way. That is a Nicolaitan thinking, lords over the people. Jesus says, "I hate it." If the ministry that you attend, if a ministry that you have as your home church is following, and that leadership following Jesus, and can point to verse and chapter as to what they do in context, then praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It's getting hard to find ministries like that these days. Thank God. If not, get out. Run for the hills, run for the valley, run for whatever, get out. But it's wrong. Why? We follow Jesus, we're going to become more like him. And I love the truth of this. Watch this. Okay, ushers. Lock them. Just lock them down. I'm going to say something that might offend you, and yet it shouldn't offend you at all. Listen carefully. Do I have your attention? If you're a Buddhist today, you study Buddhism so you can become more like Buddha and the teachings of Buddha. That should not offend you. You should probably be very proud of that because that's what you want to do. You follow Buddha because you believe in Buddha's teachings. And so you say, I'm a Buddhist. Okay, just know this. you will become like that which Buddha teaches. Every instructor in Buddhism would say, right on. That's true. Somebody who follows the teachings of Buddha is called a Buddhist, and what they do is obey what Buddha has to say. No problem. That shouldn't offend you. And the same exact thing, if you follow the teachings of Muhammad found in the Quran, you are called a Muslim. That's the way it is. You can't be a Muslim and follow Buddha. If you're a Muslim, you follow Muhammad. If you're following Muhammad and you obey the Quran, you should say, well, you know what, Jack, you're right. I mean, you're right. I am a Muslim. I follow Muhammad and I study the Quran. And that's right. I will become like him. If you're a Buddhist, you'll become like Buddha. If you are a Muslim, you'll become like Muhammad. You will become whom like the one influences your life. For example, if you're Hindu. Now, this is a tough one, Hinduism. If you're into Hinduism, you'll become like hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of other God things that are out there, whatever that is. But you say, no, that's me. That's what I want to do. Okay, that's what you will become. Don't apologize for it. Just understand that's the way it is. I am grateful that I am a Christian. I follow Jesus. My prayer is I want to become just like him. And I want to follow him all the way through to the end. In fact, I get upset when I'm not like him. Now, it's a good thing for you and the entire universe, everyone included, if I fulfill my mission. The more I'm like Jesus, the more I'm going to love you. The more I'm going to wash your feet. If I love Jesus, the more I'm going to feed you because you're hungry. The more I love Jesus, the more I'm going to make sure that you get the bigger piece of the pie, or that you get the best seat, or that you see what I'm saying? Follow the teachings of Jesus. Ask yourself, who do you want to follow? Ask yourself also this, all those other gods or those things that are worshiped as gods, ask yourself this, what have those gods done for those nations that follow them? Wake up and look. Look where religions go into countries and into communities and ask yourself, which one's better for life, both in this world and in the world to come? These are simple questions that none of us like to be asked because that causes us to look at our foundation. I thank God that Jesus is our foundation. Amen, church? Verse 40 tells us also that we're following Jesus and becoming more like Jesus when we're listening to what he has to say. He says a disciple is not above his teacher. This is a strong word. Two things are meant here by what Jesus has to say. A disciple is not greater or is not above his teacher. It means this. You will be loving. You'll serve others because that's what Jesus did. And we know all about that in John chapter 13. Jesus said, I've washed your feet. So you turn now and wash one another's feet. Jesus says, I've taken care of you. Now you turn and take care of your brothers and sisters. That's true Christianity. Serving.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio with his message called Those Who Follow Jesus, Part 2. You know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's new series called The Gospel of Luke. It's a series on the book of Luke and the unveiling of Jesus Christ to this world. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio.
Hey everybody, Pastor Jack here, and I want to encourage all of you to go on a journey with us. We do it every year, and that's going through the one-year Bible together. Here's the reason why. It literally, spiritually, knits us together like no other. Going through the one-year Bible will cause us to be a family in the Word of God and be knit together by the power of God's Word. And know this, that when you read one chapter of a Bible verse for the day, there's tens of thousands of people reading right along with you all around the world.
So you can pick up your copy of the one-year Bible at jackhibbs.com. It's our December book of the month, and you can get it for a gift of any amount at jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.